Hello, everybody. My name is Jeff Thompson, and I'm your host of the ADR Hub podcast series. Today, I have with me is Will Mercer. He recently hosted the monthly New York City Dispute Attorneys monthly roundtable breakfast that's hosted by ACR New York and John Jay College of the CUNY system. And Will spoke to us about spiritual intelligence in mediation. Will, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Okay, so first, maybe just give us a quick, brief overview of what you spoke about during the roundtable discussion.
Well, briefly, it would be the reality that spirituality is a wonderful tool for mediators to use in self-care. And if a spiritual practice is developed by a mediator, then the door is open for the mediator to begin to employ some of the techniques and truths that are learned in the mediation or in the meditation process in spiritual self-care, imbue those into the resolution process itself.
Okay, well, thank you. And just a bit of background on you, you're also an attorney. You originally got your law degree in Colorado, and now you also have one in New York. And your formal, as I think you call it, your dispute resolution training, it started off with the American Arbitration Association, and then, if I recall correctly, the University of Denver, where you also taught for a few years dispute resolution. Is that right?
That's correct. I taught ADR and mediation back in the late 90s for the law.
Okay, and is your practice primarily in mediation in regards to divorce mediation?
Primarily couples mediation, family mediation, divorce mediation, and community. They all tend to be facets of the same kind of situation.
Well, you mentioned during the talk at the roundtable about how it seems like when you approach the spiritual intelligence, it changed your approach to mediation. So can you explain a little bit about that, and maybe more so the change of what motivates you to do what you're doing now in regards to mediation and how that connects to spiritual intelligence?
Well, I think the real change occurred for me because I was a mediator first. My mediation practice goes back to the very early 90s. But the truth is that once I had begun my spiritual journey and began to learn more about meditation and spiritual practice, I began to learn various elements about respect for others and respect for self that almost automatically became tools that I was using first in my own self-care and then at the table to help participants in mediation develop a different outlook toward each other and toward the problem that stood between them.
Mm-hmm. And I remember you had also mentioned that in regards to one of your daily practices, and you emphasized how important it is to have a routine practice for your meditation practice. You said you combined it with a bunch with various practices that you were taught or that you learned about. And I think that actually, for me personally, in my mediation practice, it transcends into mediation where you get to learn about maybe all the different types of mediation, whether it's transformative or facilitative, and finding out what works best for you. Would you agree with that?
Well, I do. I think that we can put various titles on different approaches to mediation, but I think that the style of mediation that any one of us engages in is going to be, to some degree, a combination of those aspects of certain mediation theories that work best for us. We have mm-hmm. an individual approach to mediation for each of us that is going to be shaped by our own experience, our own spiritual practice, and may indeed touch on several of the more popular philosophies around mediation style.
Mm-hmm. And you also had gone over the 7 steps to developing spiritual intelligence, and I'd like to share with our listeners those 7, and please jump in either during or at the end if I either forgot, missed anything, or said anything incorrectly. But this is my attempt of repeating these 7 steps. So you ready?
Go ahead.
Okay, so step 1 is awareness, and that refers to the awareness of being awareness of the present moment. As you had said, that's the only actual moment that you're ever living in. The 2nd one you described is desire, and desire to feel a strong desire, the desire for change and effective change, where the third is reflecting on reflection, and that means reflecting on a deep motivation for change. I'm just trying to read what I had written down. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
And then after reflection is discover, and discover the discovery is to acknowledge that there's obstacles, and the discovery then to remove those obstacles, which I think is really important, is acknowledging them and trying to figure out how to move beyond them. And the fifth being explore the path to different possibilities. And then sixth is commit to a certain path. And I'll admit this, when you were going over these, I didn't read what seven was yet at that point. I said, well, wait a minute, if you're committing to a path, are you locking yourself or making or creating some sort of tunnel vision? And as mediators, we don't want to do that. And then I realized I should have kept reading. And number seven is no, that there's more than one path, which I chuckled then, and now I laugh to myself. And I said, yes, exactly, I agree. So how did I go with remembering those seven steps?
Well, I think you did well. And the truth from my standpoint is that the very first step, the step of awareness that the present moment is the only place where we can create change, is probably the most important step. Because once you have entered into a consciousness of the present moment, all of these other elements, desire, reflection, discovery, exploration, and then committing to a path and knowing that you can move from one path to another, all take on a different perspective, because you're having to engage in what is before you right now, right here and right now, rather than leaning on the past or hoping for a better future. The change you want to make is the change in the present moment.
Right, and a lot of that, it brings me back to when I think of the concept of mindfulness, of the sense of being alive in the present moment and not being overwhelmed with the past actions or being frozen about what's going to happen in the future, but actually just working with what's going on at the moment. It doesn't mean, and I always say, it doesn't mean you forget about the past and not plan for the future, but really act in the moment.
Well, that's true. And the other aspect of that is that we have an opportunity to be a new person, to take a new approach every moment that we move forward. And we are certainly guided by the past, and we are aware of how the present affects the future. But the opportunity for change, the opportunity for new movement, is ours to embrace in each moment of our life.
We're running out of time here, but I definitely want to get to one more thing where, as you said during your talk, where, quote, where the rubber meets the road, some tangible things that people can take away and use in their own personal practice and implement it. And you gave five suggestions, and I'd like to just go over them really quick, where the first was introspect, know who you are. The second, mindfulness, as we were just discussing. The third was meditation, and actually just being still in different types of breathing. And the fourth was becoming attentive of not only just yourself, that's the way I interpreted, not just yourself, but others. And the fifth one was journaling, where you can actually have a record of what you thought. And one thing that I just want to add to that is a lot of people look at this maybe, or I looked at it originally as maybe debriefing yourself afterwards, but the way how you mentioned that, it made me also see this as a way to prepare yourself, not just for mediation, but for everything you do in life.
Well, it's true. And these aspects of thought and consideration become important in almost any element of our lives. The ability to have a good sense for who you are, the ability to control your thoughts and the movement of your mind through specific issues, the ability to be still and to hear something more than the chatter that goes on around us and pervades our thinking as we move through the day, the ability to really not only be aware of yourself, but also be attentive to others and to see process in your own behavior as well as process in theirs. And then finally, a way to debrief. A way to not only provide a record, but often to discharge emotion and thought that you simply want out of your system. And one of the best ways to do that is to write these thoughts down. Perhaps you never look at them again, but you get them through your hand, through a pen, onto paper.
Well, Will, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to share this with us, especially for those that weren't able to be there for the live discussion. Thank you, and I look forward to hopefully talking with you again.
Same here, Jeff. It was a lot of fun, and I hope we'll be together again soon.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Take care.
Bye-bye.